in Dhadu Suluk. It is a very azim and great book of tasawwuf. And Suluk is the path, the way. And this is a special, the word of Suluk. And this word of Suluk is used at that time with reference to traveling on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To take a journey upon the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, to embark upon the path of Suluk. And this kitab is a great kitab. And in this kitab, in this book, Hazrat Alama Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, there is a statement of his, a saying, an announcement, his instruction or saying, announcement. And Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, with regards to this saying of his, statement of his, if we look how important it must be that Hazrat will have stated these words. Because on the path of Suluk, on the subject of Suluk, those who he was an asal, a true, genuine traveler on the path of Suluk. And all life long, his whole life long, he traveled on this safar, on this journey of Suluk, on the path, the journey to Allah. And he traveled in such a way he embarked on this journey and traveled on this journey that in his final years, even his sight diminished and he could not see. But subhanallah, glory be to Allah, but he was so steadfast on this path and he was aware and alert, and there was no, you can say, showing off, or it was genuine. And when some said to him, Hazrat, please cure your, get a solution for your eyes, and he said, anyway, I have to sit in Maraqaba, Allah Ta'ala himself has sealed my eyes, so what difference does it make? What a great ashik, we can say these things, but that person who's passing through that path and traveling on that path, imagine his love and ishq and muhabbat. Can anyone think of saying something like this and feeling like this? How much it penetrated his heart, the depths of his heart, the love of Allah penetrated. So if there's such a musafir person on the journey who is traveling on the journey, for example, if you are somebody the way, can you tell me the way to this city? And that individual, morning and night, morning, evening, he travels on that path, that route. He's a bus driver, morning, evening. Say, yeah, travel on this way and go this way. That's it. And you'll be so satisfied that this person has told me, most definitely this is the way, and I will follow this way, because he's told us this is the route. It's because from the experience and being used to that journey, then we'll have so much yaqeen and certainty that the question doesn't arise that he'll give us the wrong way, the wrong route. So these are those great personalities on the way of Suluk. I give an example. A person, for example, his eyes, his sight diminished on this path. And imagine how valuable will be his statement and his saying about this path of Suluk. We don't understand. We think, oh, we don't need these words, we don't need these learnings. But if there's a person who's a musafir, a genuine musafir, then he knows the value about the people who speak about the route and the way. So mashallah, the words of the saliks who went on this journey, their words are pearls. And from a great musafir, I heard and I saw his life, that his whole body and life and his tongue was moist with the dhikr of Allah. And Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi, who I heard this statement myself from him. And so I'm sharing this with you now. Yes, so I'm telling you something, a primary and confirmed statement. My saying is something, your saying is something, Zaid is saying something different. But he who has followed this path 100%, and he who has given his whole life, his love and his ishq and effort for this path. So for them to tell us, the reason for them to do this is this, that those ashiks who will come in the future want to follow this path with love, so they get no difficulty and they can attain success through this path. So to tell you this statement, to share it, I'm speaking to myself, I'm reciting this statement for this reason, that may Allah give me aql, give me understanding in the days of life that are left, such that we can live our life and pass our life by implementing the words of these great personalities, and we'll attain something. So that's the reason why I'm sharing these with you. These are words I've heard from my pious predecessors, and you are pious brothers, and I thought I would sit in front of you pious brethren and revise and go through our lessons again. So brothers, listen carefully to this. Will you listen carefully? Yes. Don't waste the words of the pious predecessors. I say to you all the time that I haven't come here to give a speech, I haven't come to give a lecture, I have no link with speeches, nor do I have ilm, I'm not a faqih, I'm not a mufti, I'm not an alim, a scholar, I'm just a normal, straightforward person, human being. who sits in front of you, brethren, and I share my broken heart feelings, but I'm sharing with you the precious pearls of our pious predecessors, and we should never waste them, never waste them. And understand that this message of Allah that we're getting, we are on this path, and this is very easy for us, that if we are following the wrong path, then straight away we can turn the steering to come back onto the right path. That's all we need to do, is turn the steering. Not, for example, oh, I've done so much now, life's past, I've wasted my life, it's alright, 30, 40 years I've been sinning, I might as well carry on. Never think like this. Allah is so kareem, merciful, raheem. Even if you're dying on the mattress, your final breaths, and Allah Ta'ala, if you say with ikhlas, sincerity, Allah give me your qurb, Allah will give you His nearness on your deathbed. Allah Ta'ala looks at the state of the heart. Allah Ta'ala won't look at the length of the beard, the previous life, nothing. Allah says that if khulus comes into our hearts, if a desire and a desperateness comes into our hearts, and it can come at any time, any time, even in your final breaths on your deathbed, if you are lamenting, regretting your previous life, Allah, I've wasted my previous life, Allah, I've understood that your wilayat, your friendship is a great achievement, and your qurbanness is great, I've wasted my life, Allah, but you are merciful, Allah, please cast your mercy on me. And my passion tells me, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, I swear by Allah, that Allah Ta'ala gives so much to human beings, gives so much to human beings, that that person who's got iman, Allah has given us iman, belief, to such an insan, he's on his deathbed, and he's pleading Allah for his nearness, Allah has got so much forgiveness in his treasure chest, even at that time, if a person's dying, and with sincerity asks for Allah's friendship, he will get Allah's friendship on the deathbed. So my hands and feet and nose and mouth and face and stomach and our teeth, all of these function, and we chew the bodies and the pieces of meat. If there's biryani, look how we'll jump onto the plates of biryani and eat them, and never do our teeth pain then, and our stomach's fine then, and our mouth is fine then. So then why don't we make niyyah now while we're healthy? Will we do this, my friends? Yes, just change the direction and create ikhlas. There's nothing to be afraid of. Allah give me your love. Allah give me your love. So this is a very famous statement. And if we understand the statement of Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi, so what is this statement? There's a statement, instruction, and this instruction has come from the blessed words of such a great Shaykh, Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi. Such a valuable, precious statement, that even today, after generations, if today, where tazkiyah and tasawwuf majalis gatherings take place, then the great scholars and pious predecessors give and share the statements of Hazrat Rashid Sahib Rahmatullah, Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah. So imagine how valuable. If Allah Ta'ala loves something, Allah Ta'ala likes something and accepts something, Kabul, then Allah Ta'ala doesn't keep that hidden. Rather, the sign of Allah's acceptance is that that continues to be spread around the world, that person's statement. Tell me, there's Fazail Amal Kitab. So Hazrat didn't write Fazail Amal with this niyyah that it will be elevated and so many people read. Hazrat wrote the Fazail of Salah, Fazail of different subject, with such ikhlas and sincerity, and Allah accepted his kitab. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala loved the ikhlas, the sincerity and muhabbat and love of a Shaykh al-Hadith Sahib. Allah Ta'ala loved it so much that Allah elevated the kitab that he wrote. Is this not the case? Yes. So the words of the mashayikh, our pious sheikhs, are great. It's stated, whenever the reference of a sheikh is given, then we should be very alert. The antenna should prick up, the ears should prop up, our eyes should open, we should lay out our treasure, our baskets, and ask Allah to fill our baskets with the treasure. So now I will tell you the statement of Hazrat Shaykh Rashid Sahib Gangohi Sahib, and this is the statement with regards to suluk, the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat said, listen. Hazrat stated that, listen, that Allah's qurb, Allah's nearness, Allah's friendship, this is a great level for a Muslim to attain. We're talking about suluk now. Suluk is the path of a Muslim to Allah. If a person's going to London, then what's his objective? His objective, if a person is to get to London, if a person wants to get to Glasgow, then what will be his objective? To go on the path to Glasgow. So now, on the path of suluk, then what is the destination of the Muslim? Allah's qurb, Allah's nearness and love. And this is our manzilah, doing dhikr, coming, sitting down, being bay'ah, pledging allegiance to a sheikh, listen to the sheikh, to his advices and words, implementing. Why are we doing this? What do we desire from this? Let's correct our niyyah. Why am I doing all of this? Why are we making this effort? Why do we do dhikr morning and evening? Why do we come towards dhikr? Why do we run to dhikr? Why do we encourage others? Why do people travel to the dhikr of Allah? Our Chaudhary Sahib, he is ill and weak, he's old and he's unwell, and he's got 70 illnesses. And the first time when he met me, he requested. And a great statement, he said, may Allah Ta'ala accept his statement. It's a great statement, he said. He said that when he came and said salam to me, the first question he asked is that your love has dragged me to the gathering. you love. He has a daughter, son, grandchildren. He has many relatives. But he didn't mention anyone else's name. They were all secondary at that time. What did he, what brought him here, what dragged him here? Love. And his back is bent and his hand is trembling and he's got the stick. But this is love. So what is this? Alhamdulillah. These are the people who travel on the path of suluk. And what is it that's making them travel on the path of suluk? Love. And who is taking them to the manzil destination? Love. If you don't have love for the sheikh, then going so far, what's the point of going there? I'm sat at home with these. I'll go on Umrah to Allah's house. No. If you realize the love of Allah said that the khairat, the goodness of Allah's love is being distributed in the majlis, subhanallah. This is such a place where morning and evening, alhamdulillah, the angels descend in that majalis, in those gatherings. And that is such a majlis that in the land of those many people who don't believe, morning and evening, thousands of people are forgiven. Thousands after dhikr is bakshish, forgiveness. This is such a place, the majlis, that many people are forgiven, alhamdulillah. The mounds of forgiveness, stacks of forgiveness, piles. And in Ramadan, thousands of levels, thousands in the whole world. That majlis, due to the majlis, Allah forgives many people in the world. So this is the darjah of love. Why don't we go there? Let's go there. What's the benefit? What did we speak about? What did we discuss in the gathering? Am I right? Am I wrong? Is there a waste of time traveling to the gathering? Me and you, are we not fortunate? We are so fortunate, subhanAllah. So what's this? This is the path of suluk. The journey of suluk. And the destination of the salik who travels on the path of suluk is Allah's qurb, muhabbat and marifah. And the person who wants Allah's marifah, qurb, and nenis and love, he'll get bayah, go to a sheikh, and he'll listen to the words of the sheikh, because he wants to attain Allah's nenis. Do you all have this desire? Or do you go anti, opposite? If I say right, we go to the left. And that person will never be successful. If I say to you that you have to turn right, then if you turn left, after that you'll enter this. If you say, no, I'll go left first and then right, I want to go to the destination. You're going opposite. If there's a musafir like this, and I say salam to him, bye-bye. Yes, salama to you, and you're wasting your time. Go and sit at home, watch TV, the programs, and waste it. Why are you wasting your time coming here? Yes? There's no one like this. Is there amongst us? Say no. No. And those, if you are like this, then change yourself. Stop wasting your time and your life. Don't waste your time and life in fuzool, wasteful activities. So Hazrat Rashid Sahab Gangohi Ramdai said that the person who is traveling on the path of suluk, then you need muhabbat. The destination is the love of Allah and the qurb of Allah is near this. Hazrat Gangohi Sahab Ramdai said this. Now to attain this destination, very valuable words which is useful for us now. Listen carefully. To attain this destination of Allah's love and qurb ninis, he said, remember one point vividly. Remember one point clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost gives the sign, the amal. If Allah gives the tawfiq of one action, yes, Hazrat Gangohi Sahab is saying this, I don't know, that great sheikh is saying this, who went on this journey and reached to the destination, that if you want to get to Allah's nenis, qurb, and Allah's love, you want to travel on the path of suluk, then the first amal that Allah gives to that student of suluk is what? The dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. First action. The first action Allah gives is the dhikr of Allah, alhamdulillah. And the person who gets the dhikr of Allah, Hazrat has stated, then consider alhamdulillah. This is the sign that Allah Ta'ala loves that person, loves that person. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Allah is great. Allah is great. So the sign of the student, the salik, traveling on the path to Allah's love and nenis is that Allah gives him the action of his dhikr. Once it was afternoon time, Hazrat Gangohi Sahab Rahmatullah was in his hujra, in his room, and outside were sitting two great personalities in the extreme heat, Hazrat Zakariya Sahab Rahmatullah and his uncle, Hazrat Ilyas Rahmatullah. Subhanallah. And he's written this himself. Themselves have written, we were sat in the afternoon, heat, severe. Hazrat Gangohi Sahab was in his hujra, he was blind from his eyes, he couldn't see. And he said, they said, we didn't know this was happening. Hazrat Gangohi Sahab opened his door, he came out of his hujra and said, is there anyone here? Is anyone sitting here? And Hazrat Zakariya Sahab said, me and my uncle were sat there. We said, yes, I'm sitting here, Zakariya and Elias, we are here. And Hazrat Gangohi Sahab then said, listen to me carefully, carefully, and deliver these words to others after today. That in no way should you leave the dhikr of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Whether you feel like it or not, whether your health is there, you're unwell, munafiq is there, hypocrisy is there, whatever condition your iman and emotions are at that time, do the dhikr of Allah, because Allah will accept it always. Never leave the dhikr of Allah. Never, he said. Never leave the action of dhikr of Allah. He said this and he went back into his room. And Allah knows best Why did he say this? Why did he come out? What were his emotions and what inspiration he must have received from Allah? The two great scholars who were sat outside, two great sheikhs who were to do the work of the deen afterwards in the future. Remember this. And both Hazrat, Hazrat Zakir Sahib, Hazrat Ilyas Sahib, and what overwhelmed them? The work of the tabligh they did, but the dhikr of Allah, what was that was driving them. Hazrat Ilyas Sahib Ramdai said in his own kitab, remember, when you do the work of tabligh, and if you've left dhikr and fikr, then your tabligh will be empty, like an empty box. It will be empty and void. Don't leave the dhikr of Allah, because it's dhikr of Allah that you must do tabligh about and spread to the people in the world. And Hazrat Zakariya Sahib Ramdai said in his final days, that remember, revive and make alive the action of dhikr. This is the action that must drive you. So because Allah Ta'ala wanted the work of the deen from them, because mashallah, tabligh jamaat work started that time from Hazrat Mulana Ilyas Sahib, so he was given the drive from the sheikh, Hazrat Rashid Sahib Gangohi something. Then when dhikr is weak, people are running away from dhikr, people are lazy from dhikr. And today we're in that generation, are we not? Where people run away from dhikr. People don't want to do dhikr. From 1,000 people, if you find one who runs to dhikr, sits in dhikr, wants to do dhikr, who wants to attend a gathering with dhikr. Isn't this the case? Yes, morning and evening where he does dhikr, he loves doing dhikr, he has a timetable, he does it. Very hard to find people who love this. We'll do thousands of other things in the day, but we won't do dhikr of Allah. So we have to revive this action. Revive. So this is the sign of Allah's love. The person, if Allah Ta'ala gives a person the ability to do his dhikr, then consider Allah loves that mu'min, man or woman. And if Allah loves that man or woman, then the sign of Allah's love is that person starts to do dhikr. And when that person does Allah's dhikr, then he will travel on the path of suluk to Allah's love and qurb. And this is Allah's, the sign of Allah's love. Clear 100%. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees these things in the world, from amongst the people. And sometimes, if Allah is displeased with someone, unhappy with someone, not happy with someone, then this is not the sign that Allah says to him, beware, I'm not happy with you, and let the sun set, and don't give him the sun. A person who Allah is displeased with, if Allah is unhappy with somebody, then Allah Ta'ala doesn't take light away from that person. Allah Ta'ala doesn't take the coolness of the moon away from that person. Allah Ta'ala doesn't take the glitter and the glow of the stars away from that person. Allah Ta'ala doesn't take the fish from the sea away from that person that don't let him eat fish. Allah Ta'ala doesn't take the honeybees away from him and the honey away from him. Allah Ta'ala doesn't decrease his rizq that don't give him money, that mangoes don't go to him and grapes don't go to him. Keep on, Allah is Qadir and Mutalak, omnipotent. He gives and sees and gives hukum to everything. Allah says, kun, be. And everything can go into the mouth of that person, even if he's a sinner. So this is not the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala doesn't stop food or roti, chapatis or bread or sun don't rise for this person who's a sinner, or snake go and grab him and bite him. Allah will never make a person who's sinful, if Allah's unhappy with someone, Allah won't make that person devoid of the dunya. And that's our biggest loss today. We don't understand this. So don't wait for Allah to be unhappy with you and he'll take food away from you. And you'll say, I'm under the sun, the star's coming out, I'm sinning, my work is progressing, my business. If Allah was not happy with me, then why would I get food and bread and business transactions and volume and profit? Don't think like this. Because Allah has no link with the dunya and material things. Allah has given no importance to these things. In reality, in Allah's eyes, these things are even worse than dust. But if Allah is unhappy with a person, then Allah will take away sajda from that person. Allah will take the call of adhan from that person. Adhan will be heavy for that person. To wake up in the night will be so difficult for that person, so difficult he won't know what is the taste of waking up in the night. And the du'as of sujood Allah will take away from that person. Summum bukman umyun. That person will be deaf, dumb and blind. From his tongue and eyes and organs Allah will take away the taste of ibadah. That person will not even imagine what is the taste of ibadah. Waking up in the night, going into sajda, tahajjud, how much enjoyment there is, my brothers. One sajda, taste of sajda, tahajjud time is so tasty, so enjoyable, that if that taste you want to get to it, then ask Hazrat Imam Hussain rahmatullahi alayhi, radiyallahu anhu in Karbala, what was the taste of his sajda, the value. He didn't ask for life or water. He said, please, oh people, let me do one prostration before I pass away. And then after that he passed away. Such a great, great taste and enjoyment, the recitation of Quran. Do we know what's the taste of recitation? Ask those who recite all night long. They recite the verses of the Quran and the taste comes to them. The true taste, the enjoyment. And subhanAllah, Hazrat Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that all of the whores of Jannah were looking at a man. They were glaring at a man with love. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Jibreel alaihi wasallam, who is this man that these women of Jannah are looking at him? And they said that this is your companion. Who is my companion? Said Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, this is who? Hazrat Usman radiyallahu anhu, Dhun Nurain, subhanAllah, and the hoors of Jannah are glaring at him. All the hoors of Jannah were glaring at Hazrat Usman radiyallahu anhu, Dhun Nurain. Is it? It wasn't Abu Bakr, it wasn't Umar, and Hazrat Uthman. And he said, yes, it's Hazrat Uthman. And they are all glaring at Hazrat Uthman now in advance. SubhanAllah, the Rasulullah came back to that and called Usman, Uthman bin Affan, tell me that in the night I saw you in the heavens. And what amal do you do? What action do you do that the hoors of Jannah were glaring at you? And he said, Hazrat, I don't do any special deed, but there's one action I heard from you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I practice that. And I heard this from you, and after hearing it from you, then due to hearing from you, the barakah of the action came. The taste of the action has come so much to me, so much I enjoyed that action, I couldn't imagine. And all my life's changed now, and I've never left the action after that day. Usman, what is the action? And Usman said, O Rasulullah, when you told me that tahajjud is so enjoyable, from that day I've immersed myself in the taste, enjoyment of tahajjud. So enjoyable is tahajjud, waking up in the night and prostrating. And that's what I do. And that's what's probably giving me this reward. And the enjoyment of tahajjud I saw. Rasulullah said, this was your maqam in the heavens due to this action you do, my brothers. And we are tasteless today. When on our taste buds, you know when someone's got a stomachache, you can eat korma and mirchi, spices. You say, I'm not enjoying myself. I've got a stomach bug. I don't feel the taste of the food. The taste buds have gone from my tongue. So our spiritual taste buds have evaporated. We don't know what is sujood, prostration, namaz. We pray namaz. A person says so easily. He says so easily, why don't you pray salah? Oh, I don't pray salah, namaz. So what? Don't tell me to pray. Okay, I don't pray. Oh my gosh, my brothers. Foolish individual, what are you saying? Pay attention to your words. That when you don't practice an action, in reality you're saying, I'm not practicing. No, you're not practicing. You're not saying, I don't do it. But you don't want to practice that action. You don't have the tawfiq of doing sajda, because Allah has taken that tawfiq away from you. He's unhappy. Allah doesn't want to give you the tawfiq to recite Quran, because He's unhappy with you. He's extremely displeased with you. The greatest action in the eyes of Allah, in your ears, Allah doesn't want you to hear adhan. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want you, Allah gives you fear from adhan. Allah Ta'ala doesn't allow you to go towards dhikr. This is the punishment for that person who doesn't want to do dhikr, because Allah is unhappy with that person. And when a person feels like this, I don't feel like doing dhikr, I don't feel like praying salah, I don't enjoy praying salah, I don't want to do this, and consider straight away Allah is unhappy with you. If I've done a sin in my life and Allah is unhappy with me, I've displeased Allah. Allah Ta'ala is taking from me the tawfiq to do this action. And this is the sign that when you see human beings like this, they're happy and they say, no, I don't want to pray, I don't want to dhikr, Allah will give tawfiq. Then the padlocks are on their heart. Will Allah come down from the heavens and give to you? Allah doesn't want to give to you. Yes, because you don't want to make the connection with Allah. Your sins are so much that Allah is unhappy with you, displeased with you. And Allah, how will He give you such a precious thing? Do wudu, then step forward towards Allah, listen to the adhan, recite durood sharif, go to the masjid. After you get to the masjid, you stand there, do sujood, prostrate, pray salah, listen to talawat. Such great actions Allah will give to you if you want the nearness to Allah. What a big deception the world is in today. We're satisfied. Yes, Allah's great namas, we are devoid of them today. And Allah giving Allahu Akbar wealth to the people who are not on the deen. We say, oh, look, they are rich, they are prosperous, they got buildings. Tell me, what have you earned today? We think that these people Allah is happy with. Allah says that this is the things that I'm displeased with the most. In reality, those people are wrapped around with Jahannam. They're sugar coated tablets. This is a punishment on a person when he's lost from the deen. Allah takes him from the name of the deen and he's wrapped around with the dunya, the treasures and the wealth and material things. Am I right or wrong, my friends? So when you see this happening around us and we feel like this, that Allah's hukum, Allah gives us an order, we don't practice it, and there's so many rules. Let's take for example this dhikr gathering. And always one hadith, so many hadith about dhikr. Is this hadith not enough that when the majlis of dhikr, a person sits in a gathering of dhikr, where there's a gathering of dhikr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels, they surround the dhikr gathering from all four corners. Allah's sakina wraps around the gathering. Allah's rahmah, mercy wraps around that gathering. Imagine that majlis. The angels gather, they surround that gathering. Allah's rahmah surrounds that gathering. And from Allah comes sakina, contentment and peace into the hearts of the dhakir. And the majlis, the gathering of dhikr, hasn't even ended. And Allah says, all the people in that gathering, Allah Ta'ala says that my qurb khas, special nearness is given to those people. Allah shares in His gathering with the angels that I'm proud of these people. And before that gathering ends, Allah says, oh, you people, you are forgiven beyond forgiveness. SubhanAllah. Has anyone got taste of this in the dunya today when they sit in the gathering of dhikr? But we'll put the film on the TV. Oh, all night long. Oh, that program. Have you watched that football match? Put a football match on the screen. And we'll all start enjoying ourselves and smiling. Why? Because this is Allah's lanat. And that's why we don't follow this program. Allah says that you are lost from my dhikr. You don't even feel the taste from such a great gathering of dhikr. Allah says, I've taken you far away. Beware. This is the lanat of Allah. This is the curse of Allah. Allah says, you don't even deserve my dhikr because you are wrapped with the sins. What's the cure? When a person's like this in life, he enjoys other things. My son, my wife, my auntie, my mamu. What's up to them? Why don't they do dhikr in our house? Why has our house become like a graveyard? Well, I consider the truth. Allah's kitab is saying something else, and this is adab. I consider the wealth. This is not the wealth, I think, wealth, material things. Allah's distribution of wealth in the masjid, morning, evening, afternoon. That's the dawlat. That's the wealth. That's the true earnings. Those people who do dhikr. If I have a heart attack now, and they'll grab me, people, and my money, they will share it out in the world. My son and will take it, my father-in-law will take it, my daughter will take my money, and my son will take my watches, and my sons will take my kameez and clothes, straight away all my clothes and jewelry. They'll take my clothes off and throw them away, and they'll say, oh, what's he got after dying? And they'll do ghusl, and they'll take me out, my clothes, they'll take off my body, and within seconds I'll be given the ghusl and thrown into the grave. Yes, oh, my wealth, God. I remember that in the evening the brother was sat on the chair in dhikr, one brother, and I looked towards him and I saw him. And Allah Ta'ala gave some tawajjuh attention. I said, MashaAllah. And MashaAllah, he's a dhakir. He sat on the chair of majlis. I looked towards him twice and said, MashaAllah. He sat here, the elder, he's doing dhikr of Allah. And then they told me the brother. He said that brother has passed away. I said, who? He said, that brother, you know, he used to sit in our gathering. Which person? I wasn't aware of his name. I was aware of his face. I said, which? That brother who sat in the chair, I was leaving the masjid. He said, yes. He just, his ghusl hasn't even taken. I'll show him to you. You'll recognize him. Subhanallah. So I said, okay, let's go. And I put my shoes back on. I said, let's go and see who's that brother who used to sit in dhikr. And I don't recognize his name. And it was the night time. He said he was in dhikr last night. He left the dhikr majlis last night. He went home, lay down, and after an hour, he had to go to hospital, and he died, passed away. I said, please show me his face. Who is this person? I said, let me see him. MashaAllah, he was a dhakir. When I went to see his face, he said, his ghusl hasn't taken. I said, show me. And my heart wasn't feeling like this, and my feeling, emotion, didn't feel like that. I shouldn't go and see him. I wanted to ask. And time again, I looked at him. Subhanallah, such noor and light was on his face. Subhanallah, he passed away. That ghusl hadn't even taken place. I kept on looking, time to come. And the brother was looking, and my heart didn't feel that. I stopped looking at him. Until today, I can imagine his face in front of me. And the reason? Because he was regularly sat in the dhikr gathering, and five rewards he attained. And mashallah, he attained the taste of dhikr, Allah's qurb. Allah accepted his gathering in the heavens. Allah mentioned him. He went home the same way. And his call came for his death. Say subhanallah. And again say subhanallah. And from my eyes I saw the tafsir, the tashri of the commentary of this hadith. But we don't have taste of dhikr. We don't want to beg people, please, for the sake of Allah, come and do dhikr. Please do dhikr. Oh, please, please come. My back is bent after so many years planning. Phone, messages are going, make this site, encouraging people, driving people, give dawah to people to dhikr. Has this ever occurred that I'm making food, dishes, and I beg you to come? Rather, you will complain, why don't you call me to the feast? And you didn't invite us to dinner. You made food and biryani, you had it yourself. You filled your stomach with biryani, why didn't you invite us? And you'll be displeased and happy that you didn't get invited to the biryani feast. Unhappy, imagine. And Allah's dawat of dhikr, I have to plead and beg, and you get unhappy that why are you calling me to dhikr? I don't understand. Why are you calling us to dhikr? Do you think I'm free? I've got nothing else to do. I've got things to do, shopping, going out. You calling me to dhikr? I don't know what Sam Dhazar always calling me dhikr, and you should be careful. I'm busy. Why do you give morning and evening dhikr? I've got work to do, I've got football match to watch. You keep asking me to come dhikr, and they get unhappy. Allahu Akbar. And dunya, biryani, food, chicken goes in our stomach, and we have a stomach upset, diarrhea. And then we're not upset. Why didn't you call me to the dawah? Why didn't you call me to the feast? So, this is a big sign, my friends. Whenever. You feel like, why do I have to do dhikr? Oh, majlis, oh, forget, I'll go some other day. I did it in the morning, why go again in the night? Then slap yourself in the face. What should you do? Practically, the slap is of hard. Shaitan, are you not ashamed of yourself? Allah's name at the gathering of dhikr, and you're making me stop going there. Oh, but that means rude person, that you are making me disobey. Allah wants to give me the taste of his dhikr. This is all of you, shaitan. Within a second, Allah can take my deen away. This is Allah's karam and mercy that he is given to us. Stand up, get up, and straight away do wudu, and stand up, and run towards the majlis of the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. The person who will do this, put your hands up if you'll do this. True promise? Make true promise. Do this at least, I tell you, that morning and evening, they can never leave it. Do whatever you want the rest of the day. Do what you want, and I'll see that who does sins and who will leave salah after attending dhikr or gathering. The rest of your ijazah, whatever you do, the business, carry on. But one thing, listen to me, please accept the majlis in the morning and the majlis in the evening. Run to these gatherings. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah is taking you towards dhikr, invited you towards dhikr, then He'll take every sin out of your bodies if you're regular to dhikr in morning and evening. At the time of death, from your tongue, the kalima will come out. You recite it. The angels will come to your deathbed. They'll give you good news. They'll give you glad tidings, and they'll take the adab of the grave far away from you. And those people who will live after you, your seven generations will be given in your family after that, if you are the dhakir. Do two actions. That's it. Will you do this? Inshallah. Two actions. Third thing, I'm not telling you leave sins, leave TV, leave X, Y, Z, leave music. Nothing I'm saying to you. All I'm saying to you is morning and evening. Morning and evening, solid 100% dhikr. And if you want the sweet dish, icing on the cake, that if the majlis is in a masjid, then go and taste that sweet dish. What difference does it make? Will you do this, brothers? Inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and you the tawfiq. I'm worse than you. The amount of shaitan that comes to me, that there's nothing stops me. Do dua for me. I do dua for you. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.